pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word and for all that you have said to us through your word. You said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. May this happen now as we think together of all that took place all those many years ago. You dealing with men and men dealing with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God's people were stubborn and rebellious just as much then, in those days, many years ago, as they are today. And it's not often thought that God, being a just God and a righteous God, has to deal with sin wherever he finds it, even if it's in people who've chosen him and who've trusted him and who are supposed to be following him. And so when the people of God, that's Israel in those in the days of the Old Testament, disobeyed God and went against him and were rebellious, he had to deal with them, and he expelled them from the land. They were taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar into the land of Babylon. And of course they were away from their homes, and it wasn't a happy state. In fact, many were weeping about it. But there were some that were taken back into the favor of the king. There were young people, young men, who were chosen, who were intelligent, who were good at learning, and he took them into the palace, and he wanted to train them to become wise men in his government. And there were four of them, particularly. One, of course, we know as Daniel, who became quite important. The king had been having sleepless nights because he'd had these dreams, and he got really worried about them. He got his wise men, that is the Babylonian wise men, to come and try and tell him what the dream meant, but they couldn't. And he gets really upset about it, so much so that he says, right, if you can't tell me what this dream is and what it means, we'll throw you into the big furnace, fiery furnace. And when Daniel and the other young men heard about it, they got really upset, and Daniel said to his friends, look, you better get down to prayer, because I tell you, we've got to seek God and find out what it is that he's been dreaming about. And then not only have we got to tell him what he's been dreaming about, we've got to tell him what it means. And so they all got down to prayer, Daniel and his friends. And Daniel got the dream from God. Wonderful. And he was rushed before the king. Oh, king, I've got the meaning of the dream from God. Don't you ever think it's me. I'm not anybody. It's God who gives dreams and God who gives the answers. And the king said, right, come on then, tell us all about it. So he told him. And he said, you had this dream, this vision of a big figure with a head of gold and brass and then iron, and the feet were made of clay, and you are the head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar felt real good, because after all, I mean, he got a great kingdom, not about that. And he was very pleased. He said, right, Daniel, you're going to be in charge of the kingdom with me. Well, you're going to be the third ruler in the kingdom. And your friends, you better put them into offices, and they give them good jobs. Really did very well out of it, you know. And then the king began to get a big head. It's like a lot of people in the world, they think they can live without God. And they get big-headed, and they act as though there is no God, and they're full of pride. And they think it's all because they are so good and so wonderful and all the rest of it. Nebuchadnezzar got a really big head with regard to the situation, and he actually got a statue made of himself, gold statue made of himself. And then he said, right, now on a particular day, when the sound of the trumpet and the music, when it's heard, we want everybody in the kingdom to bow down before this statue to me, and if you don't, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so they came when the music sounded, and all the people came and dutifully got on their knees and bowed down before the statue of the king, except the Hebrew boys who were not going to go against the law of God, because God said, you shall have no other gods before me. He says, we are not going to bow down to your statue, because we believe in the one and true and living God. Don't you realize, said the king, really angry, his face was red. He said, don't you realize that I can throw you into the burning fiery furnace? And they said, yes, we know that. But God is able to prevent us from going into the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down to your image, because we bow down to God only. Very brave. Well, the music was sounding, and they weren't going to bow down. So the king said, right, come on, take hold of them, tie them up, take the girdle off them, and tie their hands and tie their feet and throw them into the fire. And because the king was so angry and so upset, people hurried to do it. And the people that carried them, tied up, and threw them into the fire, were actually killed by the flame of the fire. But the amazing thing is that when the bodies of those three young men were thrown into the fiery furnace, the king was watching, and they stood up. The fire had burnt the girdle that had tied them up, and they were standing there loose, walking about in the flames. And the king said, I thought we threw three men into the fire, but I see four, and one of them is like unto the Son of God. Of course, we know what this means. Of course, that we know that this is the presence of the Lord Jesus. When Christians suffer and have to, and dare not to bow down to the God of this world, which people are doing all the time, which is easy for you to do, because there's lots of things that can take the place of God. You know that, don't you? Things that take your time, things that take your mind. These are other gods. And we must never, never let anything take the place of the true, mighty, living God of heaven. Never. Well, there they are. And who is with them in the fire? The Lord Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. And of course, people who have suffered, we're thinking just recently of the sufferings of the Jewish nation in the Holocaust. People who were starved to death, people who were gassed, people who were executed, all because they were Jews, believers in the living God. But who was with them in it? The Lord Jesus was with them. Maybe it didn't look like it, but he was, of course. And so will he be with anyone who suffers. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, says God. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. And God always will be with his people, even in the midst of trials and suffering and pain and anguish, all those things. And they came out of it alive. Now then, what is the result of that? The king was so impressed. Your God is able to deliver you. There is no God like this. There is no God that can deliver people like this. We have not known of anybody coming through the hottest fire like this. And there's not even a smell of burning on you. Even his hair wasn't singed. Their clothes did not even smell of burning. Wonderful, you say. No God, there's only the true living God of heaven. Let everybody worship the living God of Daniel and his three friends here. This is the true God. And of course, this is what we would love to happen in this world today, that people might love and live for the true God, the God of heaven, who has revealed himself in the pages of the Bible. We learn all about him. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and how that although your people will be tried, and sometimes in the fire and sometimes in the sufferings, you yourself will be with them. You can deliver them. And we know that when the great fire begins, when the world is about to be burned up and done away with and a new world brought in, when that happens, we know that you will take out of it your people. You will save them from it. And we are glad, and we pray that you will bless us and help us to live our lives in view of all that you have declared in your word, the Bible. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen.